HarperCollins presents The Beekeeper's War by Deborah Carr, read by Kitty Kelly. To my mum, Tess Jackson, for her constant support for my writing and for making me laugh almost every single day. Prologue, December 1917, Belgium. Jack. Captain Jack Garland held his breath, not daring to move. The icy cold mud had hours before seeped deep into the patched woolen coat and worn trousers he had stolen from the bombed-out farmhouse close to where they were hiding. His muscles ached as he crouched low in the dense bush, metres from where he had escaped earlier. He clamped his teeth together in a vain attempt to stop them from chattering and alerting the German soldiers who were scouring the woodland looking for him and his corporal, Faulkner. Jack longed to be back in England with his darling Prue, enjoying their first Christmas together, but he had to survive this nightmare first. Finally, the soldiers' footsteps began moving further away. After waiting another 2 minutes to be certain, he allowed himself the luxury of rotating his shoulders before stretching his arms and then his legs to ease them. He heard the shot that slammed into his arm just below his elbow at the same time the pain exploded. Bastards. They had been thorough in their interrogation methods, but Jack had no intention of giving them any information about the British lines. He would rather die in this putrid mud than betray fellow soldiers. No, he thought, picturing his British angel. He had promised her he would return, and he would do his best to make that happen. He might be struggling to keep Faulkner's spirits up, but at least this time he didn't have to look after Monty too. He instinctively pushed his bloodied hand into his trouser pocket, looking for the lucky piece of twig Prue had given him when he left to return to Europe. It had been all she could think of to give him when he told her he would be unable to take the photograph of her. He hadn't had the heart to tell her that this mission was to be his most dangerous one yet. He pictured Prue, wishing he had been able to bring the photograph of her. The pain of being held captive in what was once a magnificent chateau these past 3 months, and not being able to return to her, almost succeeded in shattering his resolve. The thought that she wouldn't know he had been thinking of her at the end, that she would never know what had happened to him, sent fury coursing through his veins. He had no intention of letting any vicious officer stop him returning to his darling girl. The image of Prue's pretty face came into his mind. He pictured that dimple in her left cheek and smiled. Then the sickening pull of pain on his swollen chin from his last beating reminded him that he still had a long way to go if he was to outsmart his captors and get back to her. If only his Sopwith camel was nearby, he might still have a way to fly out of this cesspit. The dull thud of German military boots neared again. Jack crouched further down into the undergrowth once more. He needed to focus all his attention on his predicament if he was going to get out of here alive. Part 1. 1. Prue. January 1917, Ashbury Manor, near Winchester, England. Prue sat in the comfortable leather armchair in front of the open window of the sitting room, where the nursing staff went to rest between shifts. It was cooler than she had realised when she was busy looking after the injured men in her care, but the cup of steaming tea warmed her hands nicely. The hospital had been more chaotic lately, with nurses having to set up some of the larger rooms into extra wards, and she was glad of a little peace. Lord and Lady Ashbury weren't at all like she had imagined people of their class to be when she and her best friend Jean had arrived at Ashbury Manor soon after finishing their training. The Ashburys were slightly authoritarian and scared her a little at first, but she soon discovered that their hearts were in the right place. Her friend Millie explained soon after their arrival that the aristocratic couple had lost their oldest and middle sons to the war and were concerned about their surviving youngest son, who they believed was fighting somewhere in France. The women felt certain it was these experiences that were behind the Ashburys' decision to open their magnificent home as a hospital for injured soldiers, and their care to ensure the medical staff lived as comfortably as possible. Prue closed her eyes, determined to make the most of the few minutes' peace, and turned her face up towards the winter sunshine, relishing its slight warmth. She wriggled her toes as best she could in the tight shoes they all wore, wishing she could take them off and massage her throbbing soles, but she'd learnt the hard way.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?